This is the Physical Activity Researcher Podcast, a podcast for researchers of sedentary behavior, physical activity, and sports. Join for a relaxed dialogue about research design, practicalities, and, well, anything related to research. Learn from your fellow researchers useful and relevant information that does not fit into formal content and limited space of scientific publications. And here is your host, researcher and entrepreneur, Olli Tikkanen.
Welcome, everyone. So in this episode, I wanted to cover measurement of physical activity and sedentary behavior in occupational settings, and basically the case of white and blue collar workers, and also look into how we can use accelerometers to measure, for example, upper body work. So we can, for example, measure overhead work, which is that when you have your arms high, and this is loading quite a bit the shoulder, for example, and it's quite a common to have problems with shoulder when you need to work, do overhead work. So we can pretty easily measure that with accelerometer attached to the upper arm. We can also attach accelerometer to torso to measure backloading. So looking a little bit this kind of different kind of applications that are not as often used. And this episode is based on the article we wrote on our website, fibian.com website, so measuring occupational physical activity. So if you're interested on it, you can check it on our website. It provides more information that I am covering in this episode. So what we will be covering here is first the importance of physical activity measurements in occupational settings. We will look like white collar workers who usually have sedentary work and possibly also sedentary lifestyle, and then blue collar workers whose work demands quite a lot physically, and how we can measure those and what are the implications. And we can look a little bit what are the measurement methods and what needs to be considered when physical activity and sedentary behavior is measured in occupational settings. So if we start from there, so when we are talking about blue and white collar workers, the distinction between those works can have considerable impact on individual health, workability, and overall well-being, and we need to consider the physical activity of the work when prescribing or educating them about physical activity in free time and exercise. And blue collar workers, they often engage in more physically demanding tasks, while white-collar workers tend to have more sedentary jobs. And there's a good episode with Dr. Professor Andreas Holtermann about physical activity paradox, that if you are having physical activity as a blue-collar worker in your work, it might actually be bad for your health. So it's quite surprising when you think it in the beginning, that we think that physical activity is good for our health. But basically, it's usually too much of physical activity if you work 8 to 10 hours a day and it's physical. It's usually monotonous. You cannot rest when you want. It's too much. And it's often low intensity. So for example, if you are a cleaner, you are doing all the time low intensity activity, and you are tired from it, so maybe you don't do exercise at your free time, so you don't actually get the stimuli to improve and maintain your fitness. But it's just, yeah, if you're interested on the topic, I would really recommend checking the episode with Andreas Holtermann about physical activity paradox. And also in the episode, there is that if you are doing, you have a physical job, but you, for example, add strength training on the free time or on the work time, it actually improves their health. So even if the work is is loading the muscles, it's usually too monotonous. So it's good to have, even still do strength training, because you get kind of a correct way of training and not just the monotonous loading of the body. And if we start with the white collar worker, usually white collar work, how we categorize it is that the work requires workers to spend long hours in front of a computer, and it results in a reduced physical activity at work. And so the problems of the health problems of the work come from the sedentary behavior itself, the inactivity, but also it can come from the wrong working positions. For example, the low back problems is probably how you sit also dependent as much as how much you sit. So we can measure the amount of sitting, for example, with the Taiwan accelerometer. So we get the sitting standing distinction pretty well, but it doesn't really tell us what is the position of the back. So for that kind of measurements, we might need to measure more the shape of the or the curvature of the back. And there is some systems that can measure those, but usually when we are measuring the long sitting periods, we are measuring the overall sitting and how much persons walk and do activity to break the long sitting periods. We get quite a nice picture of their health affecting behaviors at work. And like we know, there are a lot of health risks associated with prolonged sitting, ranging from obesity, cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, and musculoskeletal disorders, like said. And there are strategies to promote physical activity in the office. You can encourage employees to take regular breaks and engage in short bouts of physical activity. You can implement sit-stand workstations to reduce sitting time, and especially encourage dynamic standing. So not standing statically, but moving. That's quite a big difference. And I think it's not talked much that how should you stand, but dynamic standing is considerably better than static standing. And static standing might actually be bad for our health. But if we move, we change positions, the standing becomes much more better for our health. And yeah, it can be encouraging walking meetings or incorporating physical activity into team building events and so on. And then if we look at the blue collar workers, yeah, so like said, blue collar workers often involve more physically demanding tasks, requiring workers to engage in regular activity as part of their daily work related responsibilities. These occupations can include construction, manufacturing, transportation, for example. So physically demanding jobs can provide some health benefits, such as improved cardiorespiratory fitness, muscle strength, and reduced risk of chronic diseases. But it really depends on the loading of the work, and can they actually get enough rest? Is it high enough intensity sometimes, and then not the same intensity, low intensity all the time? So it really depends on the work, and that's why it's good to measure that we understand that what is actually the loading, the cardiovascular loading of the work, but also for example on a muscular level. So we can, for example, use EMG electromyography measurements to understand the loading of the muscles during work, and especially like upper limbs, arms, the muscles are smaller than in the legs, and the overuse of those muscles with high intensity actually results quite easily in musculoskeletal injuries. And the overexertion and fatigue is a problem, so it's important to encourage taking enough breaks. And if we look a little bit how, what are the other ways of using accelerometers? So this is also a video version, so you can also check this on YouTube, but we can attach accelerometer on the upper arm. And as we know, accelerometer is working as an inclinometer at the same time, so it knows what is its orientation against gravity. So when we have it in the upper arm, we can measure accurately the angle of the upper arm. Are we keeping the arm over the head? And basically when it's over the head, it's loading quite a bit the shoulder muscle and the neck and back muscles. And there is a quite nice study from Denmark, if I remember right, that even like when it goes over a certain amount of minutes and seconds, and it was not much, over 90 degrees that you keep your arm over the head in the work, there is a much bigger risk for shoulder problems. So you get easily problems for your shoulder. So sometimes it might be very good to measure the overhead work if people need to do such work, and especially it's, for example, in the construction. And if the work really demands that kind of work tasks, and it's too much loading, and there's no other ways of reducing the load, there is exoskeletons which can be used, that they can support the arm and kind of lock it in place, so you don't need to use muscles to keep the arm up against the gravity. So this can be used in the blue collar work, that you measure the amount of overhead work. If it's too much and you cannot reduce the tasks by rotation or other ways of working, maybe it's a good time to think of exoskeletons for upper body. And we can also attach the device, accelerometer device, on chest or back. And basically then we can measure the tilt angle of the torso, so we can see the leaning forward from hip, and in different jobs you might need to be reaching and staying in this kind of positions, and in this situation you need to be supporting your upper body weight with your low back muscles, and it easily gets too much if you need to do this too much on a daily basis. And then if we notice this kind of overloading, it can be, maybe things can be moved in the work, and maybe there can be education of the workers that they would be leaning less. So that kind of measurements can be done. And of course we can be wearing an accelerometer on the thigh, measuring sitting, standing, walking, and also maybe on the wrist, so we get the amount of arm movement there. But I think the upper arm is better, because we actually get the angle of the arm and can detect the overhead work rather than from the wrist. So there is quite nice possibilities to measure with accelerometer also other work-related loading. And of course vibration is also one, and there's a nice study showing that if there is vibration and you need to rotate, it's a big problem for the low back. So for example, if you are using a tractor or something and you need to turn to look back, and then there's vibration, it is not good for the structures of the back, so that kind of things should be avoided. So vibration is one thing that we can also measure with accelerometer.
Thanks for joining us this week on Physical Activity Researcher Podcast. If you like the show, make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing or following the show on Twitter. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. If you found value in the show, we would really appreciate a rating on Apple Podcasts or whichever app you're using. Or if you would, in a real old school way, simply tell a friend about the show. It would be a great help for us. We have a fantastic lineup of guests for forthcoming episodes, so be sure to tune in. Thank you all for your support, and have a great day.